This is edition number 1357 of the Windham and Attleborough Talking Newspaper for the 11th of September 2026. Hello, I'm John, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the latest edition of your news and information service. The editors are Tony, Rod, and Anne. The sound technician is Vince, and the administration was done by Mary. The items you'll hear have been taken from the Windham and Attleborough Mercury, Eastern Daily Press, Norwich Evening News, Dis Express, Windham Magazine, the Heatherset Herald, and the Forneset Flyer. Your other readers are Annie and Tracy, and the first item will be read by Annie.
The historic park is reopening after being closed for 14 months. The Cross Keys, located in Market Place in Windham, has been closed since July last year. Under the new management of publican Joseph Alexander, the venue will welcome back customers on September the 25th. The pub has had a complete interior refresh with resanded bar areas, new furnishings, and a full reinstatement of the trade kitchen. The refurbished venue will offer live music and a new food menu, including breakfast, coffee, and afternoon treats. Mr. Alexander expressed his commitment to preserving the traditional charm of the Cross Keys. "It's a lovely traditional pub," he said. "You walk through the door and immediately see the original features, from the exposed brickwork to the original timbers and open fireplace, and that's something we're determined to preserve. We're really looking forward to welcoming the local community back in and bringing this historic pub back to life. Guests will be able to enjoy a menu of both gastro food and traditional pub favourites, including pie and mash, ham, egg and chips, sandwiches and burgers. Well-behaved dogs are also welcome."
An 80-year-old business owner died in hospital after suffering a fall, a court has heard. Rodney Dennis died at Adam Brooks Hospital in Cambridge on August the 19th. An inquest opening held at Norfolk Coroner's Court has established his provisional medical cause of death as traumatic brain injury due to a fall and cerebral vascular disease. Mr. Dennis, who lived on Wash Lane in Faunt St. Peter near Long Stratton, was identified by a member of staff at the hospital's mortuary. Assistant Coroner Maeve Sykes has requested statements from Adam Brooks and his family and has been invited to provide a pen portrait. An inquest into the full circumstances surrounding the death of Mr. Dennis, who was born on December the 18th, 1945 in Hastings, has been set for 12 p.m. on September the 24th. The Coroner's Court Support Service helps bereaved families and witnesses attending Norfolk Coroner's Court. If you are a bereaved family member or a witness, please get in touch by calling 0300 111 2141. I'll repeat that number. 0300 111 2141.
Battleborough saga takes new twist as police probe hit and run on councillor. The councillor at the heart of the tumult at Britain's most turbulent local council is at the centre of yet another extraordinary incident. Taylor Taylor went to hospital after allegedly being struck by a car in a suspected hit and run outside the pub her family runs in Attleborough. The Conservative, who has been a key figure in the ongoing drama at the town council, which has seen it nicknamed Battleborough, was later sent home. Joe Davies, who had been drinking in another pub run by a political rival of Miss Taylor's, was arrested nearby on suspicion of drink driving, failing to stop at the scene, and public order offence. The 79-year-old has been released on police bail. He denies any wrongdoing. The bizarre incident came just a week after Miss Taylor resigned from Attleborough Council, Town Council, which has earned a reputation for bitter feuding and scandal. She has been at centre of much scrutiny in recent months over her refusal to say whether she has fulfilled a pledge to donate to charity half of a £20,000 payment she received from the council following an earlier dispute with it. The 32-year-old, who remains a Breckland councillor, received the money in 2021 as part of a settlement which included a clause requiring her to pass half of the money to a local charity or project based in the town. She claims the council did not meet its own obligations under the settlement, and that this removed the requirement for her to make the charitable donation. The latest flashpoint unfolded in a side road in the town, separating two rival pubs run by figures who have been at the heart of Attleborough's bitter political feuding. On one side stands the London Tavern, owned by Ms. Taylor and her family, some of whom are also Tory councillors. On the other is the Griffin, run by Daniel Piddington, a reform councillor, who has frequently clashed with Miss Taylor on an Attleborough Town Council, leading the campaign against her over the £10,000 charity pledge, and who defeated her in the Norfolk County Council election in May. Ms. Taylor has declined to comment on the incident while it remains the subject of a police investigation. However, Mr. Davies, a regular of the Griffin, has given his version of events. He told the EDP he had drunk two pints in the pub before going to collect his dog from his car in the side road. At this point, he found he was blocked in by another vehicle. He said he went to the London Tavern to ask for the vehicle to be moved before reversing his car a short distance. It is at this point that Miss Taylor was allegedly hit by his vehicle. Mr. Davies then said he returned to the Griffin, where he had an orange juice, and waited for police to arrive. He insists his car did not hit Miss Taylor. Officers arrived and breathalyzed Mr. Davies before arresting him. He was taken to Wyndham Police Investigation Centre, where he remained until 3:30 a.m. on Friday before being released on police bail. Last year, Mr. Piddington briefly ran the Taylor-owned Bear Pub in the town before the family ended the arrangement, saying he had not met the lease conditions. That move seemed to ignite the feud, which continued while he has been running the Griffin. He was re-elected to Attleborough Town Council after leaving the Bear, and the tensions have repeatedly boiled over in the council chamber. Mr. Piddington, who has changed his name from Mr. Bertram, has come to lead a faction of councillors opposed to the Taylors, known as the Newbies, and the two sides have frequently clashed. Shouting matches and walkouts have become a regular fixture of proceedings at meetings. A Norfolk police spokesman said, "We were called at 4:17 p.m. on Thursday the 27th of August to reports that a pedestrian had been struck by a car in Church Street, Attleborough. A parked car was also reported as sustaining damage. Officers attended, and a man in his 70s was arrested on suspicion of driving with excess alcohol, failing to stop at the scene of a collision, and a public order offence. The pedestrian went to hospital for checks. The man was taken to Wyndham Police Investigation Centre for questioning and has since been released on bail until 30th September while inquiries continue."
A11 to close for 3 days as bridge beams are installed. A major road will be shut in both directions for the weekend. The A11 will be closed between the A47 Thickthorn Junction and Wyndham from 8 p.m. on Friday, September the 18th, until 6 a.m. on Monday, September the 21st. Works are taking place for bridge beam installation as part of the Thickthorn Junction Improvement Scheme. A National Highways spokesman said, "During the weekend closure, drivers are strongly encouraged to avoid travelling in the area during that weekend if possible. Allow extra time for essential journeys, follow the signed diversion route and check traffic information before travelling. The closure affects all side roads onto the A11 within the affected stretch. Those living on Cantley Lane South will be escorted by traffic marshals to maintain access during the works. The new bridge will carry the Cantley Lane Link Road over the A11, connecting Cantley Lane South with Norwich Road in Heatherset. A temporary 7.5-ton weight limit will also be in place on the Norwich Road between Heatherset and Thickthorn, although local buses will still be able to use the route. The closure comes the same weekend that thousands of football fans will be travelling to Carrow Road on the Sunday to watch Norwich City take on Bolton.
Food waste. Thousands of Norfolk households face a longer wait for weekly food waste collections after the council delayed the rollout while it recruits more drivers. South Norfolk Council had planned to send out a new caddy and a 23-litre bin to 40,000 households ahead of the start of the new service this month. However, the rollout, which is taking place in two phases, has now been pushed back until November to give the council more time to recruit and train drivers. A council spokesman said the rescheduled date will provide additional time to recruit and train collection drivers to rebalance rounds and ensure the service can be delivered reliably. The delivery of food waste caddies will be adjusted accordingly. Phase one has been really successful and has provided valuable operational learning to support the next stage of the implementation. The first phase of the scheme began on July 27th and covered more than 28,000 households. The second stage, involving 40,000 homes, had been due to begin on September the 28th, but is now instead rescheduled for November the 9th. Councils are introducing weekly food waste collections as part of a government-led overhaul of recycling services in England. All authorities have been required to introduce the measures by March 31st this year, but South Norfolk Council missed the deadline due to delays in receiving the specialist collection vehicles.
Councillors call to scrap new town bid. County councillors have agreed to call for controversial proposals for a new 6,000-home town in rural Norfolk to be abandoned because they fear roads will not cope. The area around Rowdom and Larling, close to the A11 between Thetford and Attleborough, is among sites slated for inclusion in Breckland District Council's local plan. That is a document setting out where new homes could be acceptable for construction over the next two decades, after Breckland invited suggestions for potential sites to help hit government housing targets. But County Hall Highways officials have significant concerns about plans for almost 14,000 acres of land near Larling and Rowdham villages, which currently only have about 120 houses between them. It would form a new settlement on five sites where homes and employment land is proposed, including near the A11, Illington Road, the B1111 and Rowdham Road. The plan states at least 1,350 new homes could be built there by 2043, when the local plan would run to, with a further 4,650 new houses after that. Inclusion in the local plan, which still needs to be adopted, does not mean schemes will go ahead, but it makes it more likely future planning permission bids would be granted. With the draft plan out for consultation, the response to it from Reform-led Norfolk County Council, a consultee in the process, was agreed by members of the Planning and Highway Delegation Committee on Monday, September the 7th. Highway officers had urged them to call for the Larling-Rowdham settlement to be removed from the draft plan, saying, "No evidence has been submitted to demonstrate the allocation can be successfully delivered." Officers said the development, which would create a town the size of North Walsham, relied on just two access points close to the A11, and that there was a lack of evidence to show the impact on other roads. Council officers also had concerns about proposals for employment land at Moorfields, near Dereham. The development of Robertson Barracks at Swanton Morley, and expansions in Swaffham, Wotton and Thetford. The consultation, which the public can join in with, runs until Wednesday, September the 23rd.
A key route on the outskirts of Norwich will close for more than 3 months in September. Coney Lane, which changes into Heatherset Lane further along, will shut on September the 7th until December the 24th. A full road closure will be in place during day and night in order for workers to extend the bike path currently on parts of the road. It currently extends just past the new Heatherset estate, but is set to reach further in an effort to improve connectivity between the village and the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital. The project is set to take more than 10 weeks and will see the cycle path extended to the bridge over the A47. Speaking earlier this year regarding the development, Councillor Ben Weston for the Heatherset Division told constituents, "The phase after that, the cycleway over the overbridge, involves national highways and we are currently awaiting updates on their stage of the process. Beyond the overbridge, the route is then part of the National Road Planning's build-out and will be developed as those plans come through. It's unbelievably complicated with so many stakeholders, but we are slowly making progress."
And now here are three items in brief. A man who went missing over the weekend has been found dead in a village near Hingham. The man in his 50s was reported missing after leaving his home in Wyndham. Officers found the body of a man in Skelton the following day. A spokeswoman for Norfolk Constabulary said emergency services attended the scene, including ambulance and Lowland search and rescue. Formal identification is yet to take place, but the family of the missing man, Pip Martin, has been informed. The police spokeswoman said the death is not thought to be suspicious and a file will be prepared for the coroner. A zoo has welcomed the arrival of two amber-listed baby animals in Norfolk. Two spoonbill chicks have hatched at Banham Zoo near Attleborough just a week after four baby flamingos were born. A spokeswoman said, "It's a bird team baby boom. We're delighted to share the hatching of two spoonbill chicks." Spoonbills are instantly recognisable for their long, flat, spoon-shaped bills, but these little ones still have plenty of growing to do. You can spot these fluffy new arrivals in their nests high in the trees of the spoonbill and scarlet ibis habitat. A blind cyclist is preparing to take on a 62-mile charity bike ride. Robert Taylor will complete the challenge on the back of a tandem as part of the 2026 Norfolk Churches Trust bike ride on September the 12th. He has less than 1% vision in each eye and was registered severely sight impaired in 1997 due to retinitis pigmentosa, a hereditary condition. Mr. Taylor said, "I am treating the NCT bike ride on the 12th of September as not only an opportunity of raising funds for St. Andrew's Church, Little Massingham, and the Norfolk Churches Trust and Vision Norfolk, but also a means of highlighting visual impairment issues whilst trying to prove that a diagnosis of blindness is not an end-of-life sentence. There are many groups out there who will help our community try and lead as normal a life as possible." He was introduced to cycling by Vision Norfolk through West Norfolk CTC Cycling UK and now rides regularly with pilot Michael Jay. The pair plan to visit 25 churches during the ride, starting from Thoresby College in King's Lynn.
Council help on offer to stay independent. Residents across South Norfolk are being offered a new source of support to help people stay independent, connected, and confident in their communities. Local area coordinators have been introduced as part of the Help Hub service run by Broadland District Council and South Norfolk Council. The new service is designed to support adults who may need a little extra help in their day-to-day lives, helping them find practical solutions and connect with local groups, activities, and services before problems become more serious. Councillor Graham Minchell, portfolio holder for communities at South Norfolk Council, said the aim was to provide help at an early stage. This is about helping people access support early, before issues become more difficult, he said. Whether someone wants to feel less isolated, become more involved in their community, or find practical help during a challenging time, our local area coordinators are there to offer friendly, personalized support. The service takes a person-centered approach, with coordinators spending time getting to know residents and understanding their goals, interests, and strengths. Support is available to a wide range of adults, including to older people experiencing isolation, people living with disabilities, autism, or mental health challenges, and those facing significant life changes, such as bereavement, illness, or moving home. Support can be requested through the Help Hub's online request for support form, or you can call 01508 533 933 for South Norfolk.
Two cottages in Wyndham are set to be levelled to make way for a new home. Plans to demolish the houses on Barnumbroom Road and build a detached three-bedroom property have been given the green light by South Norfolk Council. According to the developer, the cottages have fallen into disrepair. Walls are cracking and there are leaks in the roof due to problems with foundations. A neighbour had commented on the plans, saying that the demolition of the cottages was a shame, but that there is a need to rebuild the property. The design for the new self-build includes solar panels to meet modern building regulations. Plans put forward by the developer explain the proposed dwelling is two-storey with a single-storey attached garage. My client currently lives next door in a five-bedroom house that they built 20 years ago. The new dwelling is similar in design but reduced to three bedrooms for their retirement.
A man accused of repeatedly exposing himself to women on footpaths popular with families and walkers is to stand trial this year. Suraj Raghini, 31, denies intentionally showing his penis on eight occasions between January and May 2025. The alleged incidents occurred when a man was reported to police as having exposed himself to women passing at Sweetbriar Marshes in Norwich and on the Tiffey Valley Trail at Wyndham. Appearing at Norwich Crown Court, Raghini, of Harmer Road in Norwich, pleaded not guilty to eight counts of indecent exposure. Judge Catherine Moore set a date for him to stand trial from November the 23rd this year. Police initially arrested Raghini on June the 9th last year on suspicion of four counts of exposure in Wyndham. He was further arrested on July the 31st on suspicion of another three counts of exposure in Norwich. A previous hearing had been told that evidence, including geolocation data obtained from his phone, had placed him at the scene of the alleged offences. Ian James, defending, said, "It is accepted that he was in the area at these times, but he denies doing the acts as alleged." He was granted bail with conditions banning him from entering Wyndham, Sweetbriar Marshes and Marriott's Way.
Man can't call emergency services after abusive calls. A man has been handed a 2-year antisocial behaviour order after calling an NHS service 100 times and being verbally abusive to the call taker. Daniel Barnes of Cedar Court in Wyndham appeared at Norwich Magistrates Court on Wednesday, where he was charged with 6 offences relating to incidents between November the 17th, 2025, and January the 4th, 2026. On January the 4th, Barnes contacted an NHS service in Helston around 100 times in a single day and was verbally abusive to the call taker. The 65-year-old had previously been issued a Community Protection Notice, or CPN, on November 17th, 2025, with conditions not to contact emergency services without a genuine reason to do so, not to contact NHS services and use offensive and obscene language, and not to make direct or indirect contact with neighbours. Barnes was ordered to pay £410 in fees and was given a 2-year criminal behaviour order for breaching the notice and for malicious communications. The criminal behaviour order includes conditions that he must not contact emergency services without a genuine reason to do so, must not contact emergency services using offensive or obscene language towards any of the members of staff or call takers, and must not act in an antisocial manner that causes or is likely to cause offence to one or more persons within Cedar Court. PC Guy Slade from the South Norfolk Operational Partnership team said, "Nobody should be subjected to verbal abuse when they go to work, and Barnes has repeatedly shown disregard for NHS staff members with his actions. The criminal behaviour order places clear restrictions on his behaviour and provides us with additional powers to take action should these restrictions be breached. We continue to take this misuse of emergency services seriously and work closely with our partner agencies to take action against inappropriate behaviour."
6 fire crews called out to blaze at demolition company. 6 fire crews were called out during the night after a demolition company caught alight. The blaze took place at Anglian Demolition and Asbestos Limited, located on West Carr Road in Attleborough. Appliances from Attleborough, East Harling, Heatherset, Hingham, Wyndham and Thetford attended the site, which is located just off the A11. A spokesperson from the company confirmed that nobody was injured during the blaze, which was eventually extinguished at 12:54 a.m. The spokesman said, "We would like to make our customers, suppliers and local community aware that we experienced a fire at our site overnight. Thankfully, no one was hurt or injured, which is the most important thing. We would like to express our sincere thanks to the amazing fire and rescue service for their rapid response, professionalism and hard work throughout the incident. We are extremely grateful to everyone involved. Our fire prevention and emergency response procedures were immediately put into action, preventing the spread further, helping to ensure the situation was managed safely and effectively alongside the emergency services. The incident was brought under control, and we are now assessing the affected area and carrying out all necessary checks. Thank you to everyone who has contacted us with messages of concern and support, and once again a huge thank you to the firefighters who attended and worked through the night."
A newly built pedestrian subway has been defaced with graffiti. The vandalism appeared in the new subway under Wyndham train station at some point between Monday, August the 31st and Thursday, September the 3rd. It included a message that read, "Free Palestine, Resistance and Sabotage." Councillor Annette James, who reported the graffiti to Network Rail, said, "It is incredibly frustrating to see this brand new subway defaced so quickly. The Sealfield and Wyndham communities have endured extensive road closures and disruption while it was being built, and have yet more disruption to come this month when the old roadside footpath is removed. To have it immediately targeted is, I feel, a slap in the face to them." Network Rail has confirmed it will remove the graffiti, though a date for the clean-up has not yet been given. Councillor Rowley Frosdick added, "Unfortunately, the monotone concrete finish of the subway is almost a blank canvas to graffiti artists, so the council needs to think of how this could be improved." In addition to the graffiti, Fairland Garden has also been targeted by vandals for a second time. One of the raised mounds in the garden had very large footprints and bike tyre tracks all over it.
An historic former civic building is going under the hammer. The Grade 2 listed property in Middleton Street, Wyndham, is going to auction on September the 9th, with bids starting at £275,000 after being vacant since 2020. It stopped being used as council offices when the authority moved to new premises at Kett's Park. The current owners have planning permission to convert the three-story building into 5 apartments. Renovation work has already started, aiming to create high-end living accommodation while retaining the building's character facade. A spokesman for Auction House said, "This exciting renovation project provides a clear, deliverable route to development, retaining the character facade while creating attractive, high-demand town centre homes." Wyndham's popularity and proximity to Norwich underpin strong rental and resale prospects, making this an ideal project for investors seeking margin on delivery or builders looking for a consented heritage scheme with defined parameters. The grand building was originally built by wealthy local Randall Burroughs for his mother-in-law in the 18th century. It remained as a home until 1937, when it was purchased by Wyndham Urban District Council for use as offices. The conversion project is expected to deliver attractive town centre homes. And, also in Wyndham, there's a mystery over the death of an army major found at his Wyndham home. A mystery surrounds the death of an army major who was found dead at his home in Wyndham. A post-mortem examination was unable to establish what caused the death of 63-year-old Christopher Gerard Higgins. An inquest will now be held at Norfolk Coroner's Court to investigate the circumstances and determine his medical cause of death. Mr. Higgins was found at his home in Drury Lane, Wyndham, on August the 20th, 2026. The court heard that he was formally identified by an officer from Norfolk Police, while his wife provided information confirming his personal details. Mr. Higgins was born in Birmingham on May the 22nd, 1963, and served as a major in the Army. His cause of death remains unascertained following the post-mortem examination. Coroner Joanna Thompson confirmed a full inquest will be held at Norfolk Coroner's Court at 11 a.m. on September 18th, 2026.
Two items of sports news. Volunteer 77 named MCC Hero. A cricket volunteer has been recognised for decades of service to the game. Richard Ellis, 77, was named one of the MCC's 2026 Community Cricket Heroes for his tireless work at Heatherset and Taz Valley Cricket Club. Mr. Ellis said, "It feels great to be recognised and I feel very touched that members of the club have thought to nominate me. I started the journey by building the ground and facilities and my ongoing support, but it is also the tireless work of others on the committee and behind the scenes that allows for this all to happen and help allow the provision of cricket for all." He became involved when his sons wanted to play cricket and he saw the need for better facilities. Determined not to let young talent leave the area, Mr. Ellis built a cricket pitch, pavilion and changing rooms himself, transforming the club's future. Since the first match at the new ground in 2003, the club has expanded to two full-size pitches, five adult Saturday teams, a thriving youth programme and teams for women and over 40s. It now competes in the Norfolk Alliance Premier League. And a businessman is building a new football stand in memory of his late father. Lee Watson, who runs Spartec, a solar installation company, has secured a 10-year sponsorship deal with East Harling Football Club. Mr. Watson is also known for running the Watton Hot Baguette Shop. The agreement will see work immediately start on the new Spartec Stadium, incorporating a new 64-seat stand, dugout and pitch-side sponsorship boards. "It is my absolute pleasure and honour to announce that a 10-year sponsorship agreement has been struck between Spartec and East Harling Football Club," Mr. Watson said. "The stand will be named the Charlie Watson Stand after my father, who had deep-rooted ties to the club for which myself, my family and so many others have so many happy, cherished memories. A commemorative plaque will be positioned at the centre of the stand in his loving memory. It is anticipated that the stand will be completed by September the 19th. There will also be sponsorship boards around the pitch, as well as an improvement works beginning on the dugout at the ground.
And here is an editorial comment from the EDP. Council's revamp saga is a circus, and Norfolk deserves better. So, the government has announced it is withdrawing the decision, which its own Labour ministers have previously taken, that all of Norfolk's councils should be abolished and replaced with three new councils. It means a seismic upheaval of local government. What would have been the biggest change since 1974 is now on hold, at least for now. And some may wonder whether any change will happen at all, given there could be a change of government before any new proposals for a shake-up in Norfolk are put forward. What seems clear is that Local Government Secretary Angela Rayner, having obtained legal advice, which she is not disclosing, was not comfortable with the decision by her predecessors. That decision would have seen all eight of Norfolk's councils axed and replaced with three new ones covering Greater Norwich City, West Norfolk and East Norfolk. Reform leaders at Norfolk County Council see Ms. Rayner's call as demonstrating that their legal challenge against the process was well founded, although Kay Mason-Billig, who used to be council leader, is quick to highlight that it was her administration who began that fight. While those who did not want to change welcome a decision to pull the plug, the use of the word shambles is a highly apt description of this situation. Every time Norfolk embarks along this route, or, as with some participants in this case, is dragged along, it seems to end in chaos and with resentment. Does anyone really expect the public, who have watched as work on key services has been diverted, consultants paid and work paused, to buy in to any future proposals for change? North Norfolk Council leader Tim Adams calls it a circus, and it's difficult to disagree with him. A great deal of time and expense has been spent on this, and for what? Norfolk deserves much better.
And now some information for those of you who'd like to support the Attleborough Food Bank. Firstly, their drop-off point, which is at the Lighthouse Centre on Halford Road. And the items that they're happy to accept are savoury snacks, tinned rice pudding, long-life milk, long-life juices, tinned meat in sauce, casseroles and stews, solid tinned meat, corned beef, etc., tinned vegetables, coffee, laundry items, washing up liquid. Remember, strong bags or carrier bags are always needed, and please check the expiry dates on the items you're donating. The other thing that's important to know is that they are unable to accept opened products of any kind, medications or medical equipment of any kind, and clothing. And they end with a big thank you from the food bank team.
Community news from Windmill House. We are thrilled to announce that after lots of hard work and preparation, the Windmill Cinema and Library are officially open. Bob and Jilly had the honour of cutting the ribbon today, joined by our wonderful residents to kick off our very first premiere screening of The Sound of Music. This project has been a true labour of love. The Windmill Cinema became a reality thanks to the incredible joint efforts of our wonderful families, residents and staff. Thank you to Carly and Steph, who led the fundraising events, coordinated donations, and worked hard to design and set up both the cinema and library spaces. To everyone who made these dreams possible, your generosity, enthusiasm, and teamwork have given our residents a vibrant new space to relax, reminisce, and enjoy great films together for years to come. Well done, everyone. We couldn't be prouder of the Windmill House community. Also this year, Windmill House will be taking on another 5-mile memory walk around Windham on Friday the 9th of October, raising money for Alzheimer's Society, a charity that is very close to our hearts. Working with residents living with dementia can be challenging, not only for families but also for the dedicated carers who support them every day. We're proud to come together to show our support and raise vital funds for such an important cause. Fancy dress theme, blue wigs, tutus and glasses. Meet at Windmill House at 10 a.m. The distance of the walk will be 5 miles around Wyndham. Please come and join us for the walk, get involved with the fun and help us make a difference. And if you can't join us, please consider making a donation.
And from New Buckenham, a thank you to everyone who came to the fete and made it such a successful and wonderful event. It was lovely to see so many people there. Also, thanks to all the volunteers for their help with setting up, moving bits about, clearing away and running the stalls, clothing and books, white elephant, refreshments, games, the barbecue, bar, ice creams, New Buckenham players for face painting, tombola, raffle, football club, Furzwood and Roller Penny, and sorry if I left anyone out. We couldn't do it without you. Also, thank you to everyone who donated cakes and sausage rolls, and to Janet for her jams. I'm so grateful. They were much appreciated by everyone who came for the refreshments. Thank you too to the Silver Band and everyone who came with their vintage tractors, bikes and cars. It all looked wonderful. Also to the first aiders and the children entertainers for doing such a fabulous job. Thank you too to John Halfacre for sorting out all the floats and monies. And finally, a huge thank you to John Frith for organising such a wonderful event. We are so lucky to have such a fantastic fete in this village. And also from New Buckenham, from King's Stores. To all my loyal customers, for those of you who are not New Buckenham residents, I need to make you aware that as of 10th of October this year, King's Stores will be closing its doors. It is not a decision I have taken lightly, but with increasing electricity costs, rising wages and minimum order increases, running the shop is no longer financially viable for me. I would like to thank everyone who has been loyal to me in my time in King's Stores, as it is now and previously in what is now Castle Cafe.
And we have just one letter in this week's edition from Kevin Dack of Attleborough, who writes... Can somebody please challenge the Norwich City Football Club hierarchy in relation to their insane decision-making? The latest idea is to charge away supporters for parking at Carrow Road whilst using the official coaches. The club may care to reflect that Stoke City don't charge supporters at all for away coach travel, and their supporters cover only two-thirds of the mileage of Norwich supporters. I can at least save 35 miles round trip by travelling by car from my South Norfolk base, and clearly will do so from an economic perspective with two of us. How does this support the club's claimed environmental credentials? A parent and a 15-year-old will pay a ticket cost of £42 for the forthcoming game at Stoke, compared to £61 for the Burnley game at Carrow Road. The latter will be £85 in blocks K, L and M of the South Stand for the Burnley match, as compared to around £50 or so for similar at Stoke. So much for encouraging the fans of the future. Interesting to note that the car park company making profit out of fans cites its generational links with the club. Judging by the surname, that would be through the same associate director initiative I participated in to bail the club out of its TV funds crisis following the ITV digital collapse in 2002. Ironic, then, that the club left inheritors of such shares without the benefits available to initial subscribers and no practical exit strategy. The latter has been inadequately addressed at supporters' panel meetings this year, with proposals to pay another company to maintain a share register containing the names of many deceased supporters. There is yet to be any evidence in the public domain that the car park charges were addressed with the panel. If this is a club that ranks fourth in the fan engagement table, what on earth are the others like? The football regulator needs to get a grip.
What's on? Attleborough. Royal British Legion Events and Services 2026. Tuesday the 15th of September at 7 p.m. there will be a Battle of Britain service. And on Sunday the 8th of November, a Remembrance Parade and Service. For further information, please contact Attleborough Secretary on 07434 864 719. I'll repeat that number. That's 07434 864 719. In Heatherset, the Friends of Heatherset Library present Memories of Growing Up in Heatherset with Mel Perkins, MBE, on Thursday the 17th of September at 5:30 p.m. in Heatherset Library. Please note earlier start time than usual. This is a free event and follows the popularity of Mel's previous talk on growing up in Heatherset. Light refreshments included, donations welcome. In Wyndham, the Wyndham Lions present their annual quiz night on Friday the 18th of September, 7 p.m. for a 7:30 p.m. start at Central Hall, Wyndham, NR18-0QB. In aid of local charities, £6 per person with up to six in a team. Bring your own food and drink. For further information and to book your place, email cloft@gmail.com. That's cloft, all one word, spelt S-E-A-L-O-F-T, @gmail.com. And in Attleborough again, Peter Beals Rose's Autumn Craft Fair will be held on 19th and 20th of September at Peter Beals Rose's, London Road, Attleborough.
And in Rocklands, the Harvest Festival Scarecrow Trail and Exhibition is on from the 19th to the 25th of September. It's the Rockland Village Scarecrow Trail. You can create a scarecrow, funny, traditional or imaginative, to display outside your home. And then bring yours to Rockland St Peter's Church, on Friday the 25th of September between 5 and 6 p.m. for display for a public vote for the best scarecrow competition. And then on Sunday the 27th of September, there's a grand scarecrow auction raising funds for the restoration of the church thatch. To register your scarecrow, contact Claire on telephone number 07858 355108. I'll repeat that. 07858 355108. And then at Swordston on the 25th of September, there's a summer social between 4 and 9 p.m. Save the date. It's at Swordston Village Hall, and there will be a raffle, a teddy tombola, and the Basil pizza van. You can bring your own chairs and blankets, and the proceeds will go to the Village Hall refurbishment. And in Beesthorpe, also on Friday the 25th of September, but from 7 p.m, there's a cheese and wine quiz at Beesthorpe Hall Barn. Tickets cost £15 a head, which includes a glass of wine per person and a charcuterie and cheese board per table. So teams of up to six, and there is a £60 cash prize for the winning team. And there are cheese and wine tasting rounds. For tickets, contact Kate on telephone number 07900 498270. I'll repeat that. It's 07900 498270. And that quiz is on in aid of All Saints Beesthorpe. And then in Attleborough, meet your councillors on September the 26th between 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. at Attleborough Town Hall.
And finally, in What's On, four separate items. Firstly, in Tackleston at the Woodland Club. On Saturday the 19th of September, the doors open at 7:30 p.m. for an 8 p.m. start. DJ Glenn's Motown. Members are free and non-members cost £3, and there'll be bar snacks and a raffle. And in Old Buckenham, a car boot and tabletop sale is taking place on Sunday the 20th of September. You can set up from 8 a.m. Buyers are welcome from 8:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. And that's at Old Buckenham Village Hall. It's £10 per pitch, first come, first served. For more information, phone 07565 128066. I'll repeat that number. That's 07565128066. And Wyndham Men's Craft are having a poetry evening, which is a drop-in for men across Norfolk and Waveney. It starts 7:30 p.m. on Thursday the 24th of September and is in Abbey Hall in Church Street in Wyndham. And finally in Attleborough, the Harvest Festival weekend at St. Mary's Church, Attleborough, takes place on Sunday the 26th and, Saturday the 26th and Sunday the 27th of September. There'll be flower and vegetable displays, a community scarecrow competition, organic vegetable growing video. Saturday is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There'll be an artisan market in the churchyard. Stallholder pitches are still available. Refreshments in the church hall and a harvest lunch. Tickets are from £10 from the church office. That's followed by the Sunday from 12 noon, where you can come and see the displays in the church, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday.
And finally, some more dad jokes. Did you know that bin men don't get any training? They just pick things up as they go along.
Why did the spoon agree with the knife? Because the knife had a point.
Mm. And why do the police only drink warm beer? They can't handle a cold case. We're coming to the end of this edition of Your Talking Newspaper. If you have any comments to make about this edition or queries about the service, or if you are having trouble returning wallets, please contact Georgette on 01953 605 434. I'll repeat that number, 01953 605 434. You can also contact us and listen to reviews at www.watn.org.uk. When you have finished listening, remove the memory stick from the machine and rotate it back into its protective cover. Place the memory stick and its key fob inside the wallet, together with the address label, and return them to us. Very best wishes from all of us at the Talking Newspaper. Please stay safe and keep well. The next edition will be recorded in 2 weeks' time, on the 25th of September. So until then, it's goodbye from all of us.
Goodbye! Goodbye. Thank you.